glad to be here this morning. Glad to be back at the Landmark Baptist Church. And I hope you will pray for the Crumpton family. Matthew was 15 years old. It was his 15th birthday. And his daddy said to me on the phone yesterday, he said, Matthew got heaven for his birthday. And but you pray for them. And I'm sure you can imagine what... Maybe you can imagine. I'm not sure I can imagine. But just pray for them and remember them. And we'll have to leave, the Lord willing, on Wednesday morning and drive out and sing at the funeral a little bit. I enjoyed the good Sunday school hour. I'm a little confused why Brother Gip preached Sunday school and I'm preaching in the morning service. It seems a little backward to me, but that'd be all right, I guess. And but I appreciate that good message on temptation. That was a blessing and a help. And then we've enjoyed all the things that we've been able to have a part in already this week. We've been over at the Village with the senior citizens, the senior patriots, and then we're there yesterday in the morning and had a wonderful time with them. And then good to be back. Enjoyed the good choir number. Amen. That was wonderful. I think this morning we'll look in Genesis chapter 42 for a few moments, the 42nd chapter of the book of Genesis, and we are going to start reading in verse number 6, the 42nd chapter of the book of Genesis, and verse number 6. And I will remind you what's taken place here previously. Jacob had several sons, and his favorite son was Joseph. He gave Joseph a coat of many colors. The Bible tells us in chapter 37, and we may go back and look there in a moment. The Bible tells us in chapter 37 that Joseph went out. He was with the sons of Bilhah, and he came back and brought to their father their evil report. And I believe he did right to do that. I believe he was in charge. And he came back and told that his brothers were not doing right. And of course, that didn't set well with them. And then the coat did not set well with them. Then in chapter 37, God gave Joseph two dreams. And in those dreams, his brothers bowed down to him and his mother and father. And he told his brothers about the dreams. And that didn't set well with them either. And the Bible said because of the coat, because of the dreams, they hated him. They envied him. They could not speak peaceably unto him. And so they took him one day as he came out to check on them again and threw him in a pit. They were going to kill him, and they sold him into slavery. He was carried off into Egypt, into Potiphar's house. We heard about it a little bit in Sunday school. And there in Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife lied about him, and he ended up in the prison. There in the prison, he interpreted the dream of the chief butler and the chief baker. And those interpretations that he gave were found to be true. He told the baker to remember him, or the butler to remember him, to Pharaoh, and for 2 years he forgot about him. And then one day Pharaoh had a dream. And Pharaoh dreamed a dream and nobody could interpret, and so the butler said, now I remember a young Hebrew that was in prison with us, and he interpreted our dreams and they came true, and he said, if you'll go get him, he can help you with the dream. And so they brought Joseph up out of the prison and he interpreted the dream for Pharaoh. There were going to be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. So Joseph advised Pharaoh to take the food that was going to be gathered in that 7 years of plenty and get ready for the famine, and Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of it. And so he has gone from being the beloved of his father, hated by his brethren, gone down into the pit, gone through the prison, lied about. Now he is second ruler in the kingdom of Egypt. He's the only one that has bread. He has the authority. This famine that comes up is in the land of Canaan, and Jacob sends his boys to check to see if they can get bread in Egypt. And here's what happens when they get there. Verse number 6, chapter 42. Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them and said unto them, ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land are ye come? And they said unto him, nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land are ye come? And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. And Joseph said unto them, that is it that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth from hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. He put them all together into ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, and that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child? And ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again, and communed with them, and took from them Simeon, and bound him before their eyes. I want us to look at this passage for a few moments. And I want us to see a picture of God dealing with sin. I want us to see Joseph dealing in the lives of his brethren to bring them to a place of repentance. I like to call this message, does this look familiar? You know, the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Bible said, be sure your sin will find you out. But somewhere we got the idea that we can sin and not pay. That we can sin and keep it covered and we'll never have to face it again. But I want to say to you that God, can I say this about sowing and reaping? I believe sowing and reaping has to do with the holiness of God. But I believe sowing and reaping also has to do with the love of God. I believe sowing and reaping has to do with the fact that God loves us too much to allow us to go on in sin, and he is too holy to have fellowship with us while we are in sin. Someone said, well, God wants us to pay for our sin because he is a vindictive God. No, the Bible said God is love. He is a loving God. When you read this passage and see Joseph, we're going to see Joseph dealing with his brethren. It would almost seem at first glance that what the Bible is showing us is that Joseph has them where he wants them. It's almost as though he said, the shoe's on the other foot now. You had me under your thumb, now I've got you under my thumb, and I'm going to make you pay. It would almost seem that way until you get to that part where it says, he turned himself about from them and wept. He's not enjoying this. He's not getting any joy out of what he's doing. The joy will come later when these boys get their hearts right and fellowship is restored. I want us to see three things in this passage, and I'll get through them this morning. I want us to go back to chapter 37 and remind you of the conspiracy that takes place in chapter 37. In chapter 37, I've already mentioned to you about Joseph being the beloved of his father, about Joseph and the coat, about Joseph telling about his brothers, giving their father their evil report, about the dreams, how they envy him. But the Bible says that Joseph's father, Jacob, sends him to check upon his brethren. The Bible says in verse number 18 of chapter 37, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Now, I know something about a conspiracy. At least two things have to be true if it's going to be a conspiracy. Number one, it must be premeditated. Number two, there has to be more than one person involved. So this is not a spur of the moment thing. This is not a crime of passion. They see him coming and they say, now's our chance. They've been thinking about it. They've been contemplating it. And so when they see him come, they said, behold, this dreamer cometh. And they say in verse 19, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, let us slay him, cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. They said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to cast him in the pit. Their plan is to kill him. But Reuben intervenes in verses 21 and 22. Reuben heard it. He delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness and lay no hand upon him. So they did that. They put him in the pit, verse 23. Verse 24, they took him, cast him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Now this is their own flesh and blood. This is their own brother. They take him. They put him down in the pit. Notice verse 25 in chapter 37. And they sat down to eat bread. That verse always gets a hold of me because I think to myself, if a man has just taken his own flesh and blood and with evil designs has decided to kill him and he's put him in a pit, looks like he'd be looking over his shoulder. Wonder if anybody saw. Wonder if anybody noticed it. But they don't. They are so hardened by their hatred, they're going to sit down and have a meal. We read in Genesis chapter 42 that while Joseph is in the pit, he pleaded with them. So he's in the pit. He has no water. He's pleading and begging. And they're having themselves a little party, a little get together. By the way, can I remind you of this? You know what the sin, the Bible says, that started all this was? Envy. Envy led to all that we're reading about. And so now they're eating around the pit. They're enjoying themselves. And they look up, the Bible said, and a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh going down to carry it to Egypt. And Judah said, what? He said to his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And so Judah looks up and he said, you know, as long as we're going to get rid of him, let's make a little money on the deal. I mean, let's get a little coin out of this. We're going to get rid of him. Let's get a little profit. And so they sell him. The psalmist tells us that they hurt Joseph's feet with fetters, with irons. So I take that to mean after they've sat and had their meal and heard him plead, they pull him out of the pit. They sell him to the Ishmaelites. He's put in chains. And they watch their brother be carried off in chains. Then they go to their father. We'll not take time to read all of this. But they go to their father, they take that coat and they dip it in the blood of an animal, and they go to their father and they say, tell us whether this be thy son's coat. Jacob looks at the coat, and all he can tell and all he knows is that Joseph must be rent. He says in verse 33, it is my son's coat, an evil beast that devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces, and Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. Verse 35 said he refused to be comforted. He said, I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. So here's these boys. They're watching their daddy's broken heart. They're watching him weep. He's holding that coat. Can you imagine what a daddy would think? My son's coat, it's covered with blood. I don't know if he died quickly. I don't know if he's lying somewhere hurt. I don't know if he was devoured, but he's dead. And they're standing there watching it. And they know what happened. Doesn't move them. Doesn't affect them. You know what sin does? It hardens you. People get involved in sin. They say, well, I'll get by with it. Nobody will know. And what they don't understand is it's affecting every second of their life. It's affecting how they think. It's affecting how they talk. It's affecting how they react. It's affecting their emotions and their senses and their thinking process, affecting everything. These boys stand there and watch their daddy with a broken heart. And they know the truth. And they just stand there. Well, time goes by. Joseph's gone. I don't guess anybody mentioned him much. I can't imagine he ever became a topic of discussion around the house amongst those boys. And the famine comes up. And I wonder what they thought when their daddy said, I'm sending you down to Egypt. I wonder if the word Egypt brought up memories of Joseph. I wonder if they thought about it. I don't reckon they talked about it. I don't expect that they thought they would see him. But down they go to Egypt. They come now. Joseph's in Egypt. He's the second ruler. He's dressed like an Egyptian. He's probably talking like an Egyptian, probably looks like an Egyptian, and probably acts in many respects like an Egyptian. And they don't recognize him. And they come and they bow before him. The Bible said he remembers the dream. Now I want you to notice a little bit more in particular Joseph dealing with them back in chapter 42. The Bible says that he spake roughly unto them. You know, I get around a lot of people and sometimes they'll say, you know, God is a hard God and God is he's a difficult God. All they know about God is he's the Lord of that country that speaks roughly. That's all they know about God, because sin has got between them and God. And that's all they know about Joseph. He's the Lord of that country that spake roughly. And he does speak roughly to them. But you know what he does? He copies their sin. He copies the circumstances of their sin. He does to them exactly what they did to him. He doesn't do it because he's trying to harm them. He doesn't do it to try and get back to them. He does it with one thing in mind, and it works. He wants to hear them say, "We're guilty." I have parents sometime when I was pastoring would come and they'd say, you know, things we did in our youth that we thought would never come back, our children are doing those and it scares us. Parents, grandparents will cover things up and later on in their families it comes up and they say, why is it happening? It's God trying to remind you that that's got to be dealt with. It's got to be taken care of. It's got to be confessed. It's got to be faced. It cannot be covered up and left. It's got to be opened up and cleansed like a wound. So they come and Joseph begins to copy their sin. He does the same thing to them they did to him. They had a title for him. They called him dreamer. He's got one for them. Spies. He said, "You're spies. That's what you are. You're spies." What they were going to do to him. They were going to confine him in the pit. He's going to confine them. He's going to put them in the prison. They had a countenance toward him. When he pled, they didn't listen. He's got one toward them. They say, "We're not spies, we be true men." He said, "You spies." They said, "We're true men, we be 12 brethren. One is not. Our youngest is with his father." He said, "That is it that I said unto you, ye are spies." Every time they say to him and plead to him, he gives them that same countenance. And then you know what he does? He changes the sentence. Remember, they changed his. First they were going to kill him. Then they were just going to put him in the pit. Then they were going to kill him. Then they were going to sell him into slavery. He changes theirs. He says to them, "All right, here's what we're going to do." He said, "I'm going to keep the whole crowd over here and send one of you home. And you're going to get your little brother and you're going to come back. The rest of you are going to abide here in prison." He comes in after 3 days. He said, "This do, for I fear God. Let one of you be bound in the house of your prison and the rest of you go." He changes the sentence. Do you see what he's doing? He's copying. He's recreating the circumstance. Why is he doing it? He wants to bring it to remembrance what they did. He wants them to, they have put it away. They've hidden it under. They've covered it up. Maybe they've not even thought about it. He wants them thinking about it. Say, why would God let my sin come around full circle? Because he wants you to face it. He wants you to deal with it. So he will bring it around, not because he hates you, but because he loves you. Not because he's trying to get even, it's because he's trying to get that fellowship restored. So Joseph recreates their sin and he gets what he's after. The Bible said after he goes through all of this, they look at one another and they say in verse 21, "We are verily guilty concerning our brother." Nobody's mentioned their brother. Nobody's mentioned Joseph, but the circumstances. And they look at this and we know why this is happening. We know where this come from. It's our brother. Can you imagine Joseph? He's listening. They don't know he can understand, but he's listening. They say, "It's what we did to Joseph." Reuben said, "I told you not to do it." They said, "We're guilty." Well, that's what Joseph wanted to hear. He wanted to hear they were guilty. He wanted to hear them confess that they had done wrong. God wants to hear you confess. I've been studying, and I get hung up in the book of Genesis, especially this time of year when I'm reading my Bible through. But I was reading over there in Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3, and God came and he said to Adam, he said, "Have you eaten of the fruit? Eaten of the tree?" God wasn't needing any information. He was looking for confession. One day he wrestled with Jacob. He said, "What's your name?" He wasn't needing information. He's looking for confession. When Joseph speaks with these boys here, he's not needing information. He's looking for confession. God brings our sin around full circle to hear us say we did wrong. You know, one of the most important things that you'll find, and I find it more and more as I read my Bible, is the importance of humbling yourself before God. Humbling yourself. Was it Manasseh, the wicked king, that lived such a wicked life and so many things happened to him, but he humbled himself and God said, see how he humbles himself before me? God wants to hear you say, I was wrong. He wants you to come clean. He wants you to tell the truth. And so they tell the truth. They face up. But that's not enough. Joseph's not done with them yet. Joseph has another little something he wants to do in their life. We'll find it in chapter number 45. They go home chapter 44, they go home and they get their little brother. And they bring him back to prove that they're not spies. And when they get back, Joseph sits them all down in the house and he feeds them. And it's interesting what he does. He gives them messes. See, Joseph can't sit with them. The Egyptians can't eat with the Hebrews. So he's sending them a mess of food. And at the end of chapter 43, we find out that the mess of food that he sent to Benjamin was five times more than what he sent to the rest of them. Why did he do that? What's behind that? Well, I want to remind you that Jacob had two wives. You remember? Rachel and Leah. If you put them in the order that he married them, Leah and Rachel. But if you put them in the order of how he felt about them, Rachel and Leah. He loved Rachel more than Leah. And you remember that those two girls didn't get along. It was a mess. You see, this animosity in Joseph's home started before Joseph was ever born. Started with those two sisters. And then their sons. And Bilhah's sons. And the other handmaid's sons. And I tell you, it's a mess. It's a sordid affair. And so there's hatred there. But there's only two boys that have the same mother, Rachel, and that's Joseph and Benjamin. So what Joseph's about to do is he's about to find out if these boys still feel the way they used to feel. They've said we're guilty, but it's not enough to recognize you're guilty. God wants a change. Not enough just to say, I'm sorry. God wants a new direction. Amen. So he's got a little something planned in chapter 44. I'll just tell you about it. You read it when you get home. In chapter 44, Joseph's going to send them back, and he calls his steward, and he says, here's what I want you to do. That silver cup that I drink of, I want you to put it in the sack's mouth of the youngest. Send them on their way, put their money back in, put the corn in, but put that silver cup in the sack's mouth of the youngest and send them on their way. And he said, when they get down the road a little ways, run after them, catch them, and tell them, how come you stole the cup? So they head off, the cup's in the Benjamin's sack, they get down the road a little ways, the steward gets the soldiers, they go after them, they run them down, they said, how come you stole the cup? They said, we don't know what you're talking about. They said, search us. They said, search us, and whoever you find, I'll let him die, and we'll be your servants. So they start searching. They start in the eldest, and they go to the youngest, and when they get to Benjamin's sack, guess what they find? They find the cup. And now these boys, the Bible said, they're rending their clothes, they're falling down, and they all gather up, and they go back to Joseph. They come to Joseph, and Joseph wants to know why they stole the cup. It's interesting who steps forward. Judah steps forward. Verse 18 of chapter 44, I like the way he steps forward. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears. Let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. That little phrase, let may speak a word in my Lord's ear. It's like a child who's done wrong coming to a daddy to confess. And he begins to intercede for his brother. And I want you to notice the last two verses of chapter 44. Judah is talking to Joseph. As far as he knows, Benjamin is sentenced to death. Now he thinks perhaps Joseph says, I'm going to let y'all go, but I'm keeping Benjamin. Judah steps forward, and here's what he says. Now, therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord. and let the lad go up with his brethren. Judah steps forward and said, all right, if somebody has to pay, if somebody's got to pay for this wrong, let me pay. Let Benjamin go free. Let me pay. Do you understand what he's saying? He is offering to take Benjamin's place. He is offering to take the punishment, whatever's going to be meted out to Benjamin, and let Benjamin go free. This is the same one who sat beside the pit with Joseph in the pit and said, hey, let's sell him and make a little money. It's the same one that watched his brother carried off in chains. It's the same one that stood beside his daddy. But something has happened in his heart. He's had enough of this. He's seen too much of it, too much heartache, too much sorrow. He said, take me and let him go. He's had a change of heart. That's what Joseph's looking for. Can I remind you of this? The Lord Jesus Christ came from the lineage of Judah. This is a picture of the gospel. It's a prophecy and foreshadowing of the gospel, because that's exactly what Jesus did. He said, take me, put me on the cross, let Brian McBride go free. It's the gospel in a nutshell, right in that verse. But it is the proof that Judah has had enough of his sin. He says in verse 34, for how shall I go up to my father and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father. I can see him talking to Joseph saying, I've seen this before. I saw daddy's broken heart, and I'm going to tell you, I can't stand it again. I don't want to see it anymore. I'm telling you, friend, here's where God wants us. He not only wants us saying, I was wrong, I did wrong, but he wants to hear us say, I don't want any more of it. I've had all of it I can stand. I'm through with it. I'm done with it. Please, I don't want any more. I remember a preacher friend of mine just recently, we were talking about having victory. He got saved. When he got saved, he had an awful mouth, an awful language. And he said, I'd find myself. Sometime when I'd talk, I'd say things I shouldn't say. And he said, as soon as I said it, I was so condemned. He said, I'd go to God. And he said, I say to God, Lord, I'm sorry. And then he said, one day I went to my pastor and I said, Pastor, I keep saying these things. I'm just so used to it. I've done it all my life. I don't know what to do. The pastor said, do this. He said, next time it happens, go somewhere and get on your knees and tell God, Lord, make this the last time. I don't want this anymore. I don't want to talk this way. It's a terrible testimony. I don't want it in my life. Make this the last time. Let it be the last time. He said, the next time it happens, if it happens again, go back and tell the Lord. Say, I'm sorry, Lord. Make it the last time. You know what God's interest is? He wants us to look at sin and say, Lord, make it the last time. I don't want it ever again. I'm done with it. I'm through with it. I'm finished with it. You see, Joseph's trying to help these boys get right. Now, here's what he's after. Chapter 45 tells us what the whole thing's about. It's not about getting even. It's not about hurting these boys. It's not about Joseph getting revenge. Here's what it's all about. Chapter 45 and verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Joseph says, here's what the scriptures tell us. This is what Joseph's been after ever since they came back. He's wanted to make himself known to them. He's wanted to fellowship with them. A little bit later in chapter 45, the Bible will say this in verse 14. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. Here's what he's been after. He's been after this fellowship where he can kiss on them and hug on them and fellowship with them and talk with them. But sin has been in the way. And so Joseph has recreated the circumstances of their sin to get them to face up, to get them to tell the truth, to get them to turn from their sin. Why? So that he can fellowship with them. Can I say that's what God's interested in your life today? He wants that sin out of the way so you and he can have fellowship again, so that he can kiss you with the kisses of Calvary, so you can talk, so you can fellowship, so you can enjoy the presence of God. He wants that sin out of the way. See, you don't know what you've been missing, because sin hardens the heart. I'm going to tell you, Joseph, he had something in mind, and the Lord Jesus has something in mind when you reap what you sow. And what he's got in mind is that you'll say, I don't want any more of it. I've done wrong. I'm sick of it. I'm through with it. I'm done. And when that happens, get ready. Because you're fixing to have a revelation of God. you're fixing to see him in a way you haven't seen him in a long time and hear from him and have fellowship with him in a way you haven't had in a long time. And you know what's going to happen when you get back in fellowship with him? You're going to say, why did I ever stay away so long? Why did I let that go on? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Thank God Joseph didn't give up on these boys. He's not trying to get even. He's trying to get them back. God deal with you about your sin, and he'll keep on dealing with you about it till it can get out of the way and you can have fellowship with him again. I want you to bow your heads a moment.